This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting ready to go behind enemy lines in about 10 minutes with Dan Lobby of Cleveland.com. Talked to Dan quite a bit, I think three or four times the past calendar year, and he'll let us know a little more about the Browns coming off of that 21-21 tie. Kiss your sister here. And on last Sunday against Pittsburgh, I don't know how Cleveland didn't win that football game. You're talking about a +5 turnover differential. Well, I do know how they didn't win it. It's Cleveland. That's how they didn't win that game. And just, you know, Tim, you were telling me, I think the day before the game, you said, watch out. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be terrible in that game because the weather was going to be bad. And you were right. I actually benched Ben Roethlisberger because of that in our fantasy football league. By the way, it didn't make a difference, and I lost anyways. But, yeah, you were right.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger's kryptonite is playing in Cleveland. Throw in bad weather, it probably wasn't a good game for him.
No. No. No, it's not. Yeah, Ben was bad. Three interceptions, couple of fumbles. He usually bounces back, though. It's one of the reasons why I've got them covering the Steelers against the Chiefs. 4.5-point favorites coming up this week. We're watching Thursday night football, as we will do every single Thursday this week. Saints have a couple of Thursday night games, remember? Thanksgiving and the week after. 28-14, Bengals leading the Ravens right now. And Andy Dalton is looking like Superman himself. Four touchdowns, no picks. Three of those touchdown passes or throws to A.J. Green. And Joe Flacco, 11-21, 164 yards, one touchdown, one pick. I kind of thought, and I wrote this today in my picks article and feature that's online right now at WWL.com, I kind of felt like this one might have been a play-in game to the playoffs. And I go into why, and I did the hour one here on the program, but also in that article, as to why week two is statistically the most important week of the NFL season. It's kind of crazy to think about. Not week 16 or 17. Week two. You make more of a difference in your season on average what you do the first week and the first couple of weeks as you do the last couple of weeks. I just have a sneaking feeling here when we're looking for that fifth and sixth team, the wild card team, to kind of emerge here in the playoffs. If you think Kansas City is one of them, if you think Kansas City and the Bolts, the Chargers, are coming out of the AFC West, which I think most people do now, especially after last week, if you think both those teams are coming out of the West, then you're looking for one more wild card team. And I got to think it's coming out of this division, either the Ravens or Bengals. This is a big one. This is a big game, especially when you talk about tiebreakers later on in the season. So we'll keep an eye on that. They are at halftime, a couple of minutes away from getting started in the second half. So Saints-Browns this Sunday. Some people very concerned, pointing at Drew Brees losing to Cleveland the last couple of times they were in here. The Browns, 13-4 in their history against the Saints. They've been bad against everybody, apparently, in the National Football League, except the Saints. They're out their history, but throw history out the window. That doesn't matter. I mean, if you go back to New England, New England's got some terrible records all time against a lot of teams because before Tom and Bill showed up, they were dreadful for a few decades. So just throw it out the window. That doesn't mean diddly squat for this game. Now, the Saints have been bad early on in seasons the last handful of years under Sean Payton. That's obvious. But if the Saints, like everybody, and I really mean everybody, think the Saints are not only a playoff team, but a contender in the NFC still, even after what happened last week against Tampa Bay. Too much talent on this team. They should handle the Browns with relative ease. Now, relative ease in the National Football game is a touchdown or so. Maybe 10 points, 14 points. You're not looking at a 30-40-point blowout like Alabama against East Southwest Alabama State Tech. Okay, these are professionals. And Cleveland's got what looks like an emerging defense, even under Greg Williams there. Denzel Ward, the cornerback who I wrote, and I think this popped up, speaking of Cleveland.com, Dan Labby writes for them. One of my earlier tweets popped up about Denzel Ward. When he was drafted, they did not trade their pick, which they could have got Bradley Chubb, the pass rusher, who I thought was an easy choice for them. If not, they should have traded out of there. And I kind of panned the pick, saying, oh, man, they might regret that pick of Denzel Ward. Well, in my face, the cornerback, a couple of interceptions last week of Ben Roethlisberger. So he's going to be the guy, for the most part, you're going to see on Michael Thomas. Then they've got Myles Garrett, who looks like a complete terror on the defensive line. This is a unit that has players on all three levels. This isn't going to be a unit that you go up and down the field on like you did Tampa Bay. You're not scoring 48 points against, you're not scoring 40 points against Cleveland. They're too good. Now, on the other side, we know this Cleveland offense is just dreadful. We're not going to see Baker Mayfield, even if things go terribly for Tyrod Taylor. They're going to wait until after the bye week to bring him in. But anybody who is predicting a Cleveland win here, you're being hot takey, and you want to point to that and say you're right when nobody's going to remember when you're wrong, and you're going to be wrong here. No way after a loss does this team lose as heavy favorites again at home. I just can't see it. I'll say that right now. Check the tape. No way they lose this game. Forget about it. 8.5-point favorites are the Saints. So we'll take a break here. Coming back, we'll talk to Dan Lobby behind the lines, behind enemy lines for the Saints. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap. Here's a text from the 318. Phew, I had Tampa as a win and Cleveland as a loss. So if they flip-flop, I'm happy because we would still be where I thought we would be. Well, look, I had them 2-2 through their first four games, talking about the Saints. I had them 3-2 going into the bye. So as long as they're there, they'll be right on track for my 13-3 prediction and the number one overall seed prediction in the NFC playoffs. It is just 1 week, but this week is important. There's no doubt about it. Only 10% of teams in NFL history who've gone 0-2 make the playoffs. Now, the Saints did it last year, but I don't think anybody wants to walk that tightrope again. Dolphins did it the year before. There's about one team every single year that starts 0-2 that bounces back, wins at least 10 of their next 14 games or so, and makes the playoffs. But again, it's few and far between. Tim, you're telling us that this Thursday night game was the highest scoring half ever, first half ever for Thursday night football?
Yeah, 42 points scored in the first half by the Bengals and Ravens, the most since it started in 2006.
Interesting. There we go. Ravens have scored here, so getting a little bit tighter. Bengals up 28-17, 12:25 left in the third quarter. Remember, Andy Dalton, four touchdown passes there. All right, we were switching focus here to college football. James Crepia covers the Auburn Tigers for AL.com. We'll join us here in just a couple of minutes. Let's go across the SEC, though. Make some picks here like we do every single week on Thursday. Not a lot of big-time football games. A lot of cupcakes on the slate here as we're still only in week three. Georgia's going to get a win against Middle Tennessee State. The line is 33.5. I'm not picking against the spread here this week. I'm not picking against the spread on any of these, again, directional schools. Not going to happen. I don't do it. Neither should you. Kentucky at Murray State. Hey, how about Kentucky, Tim? First win against Florida since 1986 last week.
I know. I wasn't even alive when that happened. Crazy.
You weren't? I was, although I don't remember it. A long time ago. I was a young tyke then. They play Murray State this week. They're going to get a win. Kentucky's going to be 3-0, assuming they don't blow that game. Tennessee 1-1 against UTEP. The Miners, who are 0-2. Tennessee, huge favorite in this game. They're going to get a win. Vandy at Notre Dame, a little bit interesting. I talked about it yesterday. The line here is Notre Dame, but only by a couple of touchdowns, which I thought Notre Dame would be much heavier favorites in this football game. So that tells me one of two things. Notre Dame either, Vegas, and the odds makers a little sour on them being true contenders for a playoff spot, or they think Vandy might be a little more competitive than we think. Vandy is 2-0. I like Notre Dame here. I also like Notre Dame against the spread. Remember, this is in South Bend. How about LSU Auburn? 10.5. That line keeps moving towards Auburn. It was 9.5 yesterday. That's where we made our prediction here on pick six. It's now 10.5, Tim. 10.5 Auburn. And remember, the home team has covered 8 of the last 9 times here. That tells me all the sharp money right now, all of it is going on Auburn. That concerns me if I'm LSU. It really does.
One thing I did do on my research, the last time Auburn covered at home as the favorite was in 2010.
Yeah, but they haven't been a home favorite since 2010.
LSU's been the favorite in most of the times since this rivalry, and the home team has won. But I like LSU to keep it close. I don't think I think they can win, but I think if I'm betting on this game, I'm betting LSU to cover. Give me plus 10.
Yeah, 92 degrees it's supposed to be at kickoff of that football game. So that's a large spread. I like Auburn to win this. That's just too big of a spread against this defense. Give me LSU here. I'm going back and forth on this pick. I don't know where to go against the spread with this one. I am taking Auburn to win. How about Florida against Colorado State? You know, Colorado State just beat an SEC team last week. They beat Arkansas. Can they do it against Florida? My guess is no. This is in the swamp. Florida, Dan Mullen, a little rough last week. Well, a little rough. That's an understatement. Losing to Kentucky for the first time in 30 years. They'll get a win against Colorado State. 20-point favorites. I don't know about covering, though. That's a big line for a team that just beat an SEC squad. Arkansas against the Mean Green of North Texas. This is your worst team in the SEC. People are kind of coalescing around this now. Watch out. You got a former high school coach, and there's nothing wrong with that. Look what Doug Peterson did. I'm not using that, I guess, as a pejorative, but maybe Chad Morris here just a little bit out of his league. Still going. If you had a son, let's say you're coaching college football, like Morris is. You got a son playing high school football on Friday nights. You going to those games?
I mean, if he has teammates that are pretty good players, probably.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, so he says he's going to go to his son's games. He got a little pushback from that last week. I don't really have a problem with it. Arkansas only 7-point favorites here. I like Arkansas at home to win. I also like them to cover. Ole Miss about to get curb stomped by Alabama. It's going to be a rude awakening for everybody now jumping on this Ole Miss bandwagon offensively. You know what Alabama does? They come in and wreck your party. Alabama's going to win this by 40. Alabama's going to win this game by 40 points. Double this spread. You can't make this high enough. You're talking about only 21 points here? Come on, Tim. You're not on Alabama on this one?
No, I really like Alabama to win this game. I just think Ole Miss is going to backdoor cover. Their offense is too good not to score points. I think Ole Miss can score 28 points in this game. I don't know if that's going to be enough for them. That means, what is that, 49 points that Bama's got to score?
Yeah.
I just think Ole Miss is going to score enough points where they're going to cover.
Yeah, I'm going to take my LSU-Auburn prediction back, by the way. We're not going to do it here. I'm going to do it later. We'll do it towards the top of the hour. Forget my LSU-Auburn pick. I got to think about it a little more here. I keep going back. I've been going back and forth on this one all week. Let's see. Let's run through a few more here. Run up against the clock. I do like Mississippi State, obviously, against the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. That is a big spread, though, 33.5. Again, I'm not picking against the spread in those kind of games. Purdue at home against Mizzou, but this isn't the same Purdue team in the past that's been at least decent. Mizzou's going to go up there and win this game, even on the road. Texas A&M, Jimbo, not even rebuilding anymore. He's put that in the rearview mirror. They've got UL Monroe. We know that's a W. And South Carolina just got humbled in a big way by Georgia last week. Will Muschamp, anybody really think Will Muschamp is going to have South Carolina consistently competitive? Get out of here with that. You're going to win this week, though. I got South Carolina. So that's my SEC picks, sans LSU-Auburn. We'll do that towards the top of the hour. Coming back after this break, we'll talk to James Crepia. Covers the Auburn Tigers for AL.com. We'll do that next. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap. All right, my final prediction here. I said, hold on. We're going to make it here. Tim, you can do this or you can wait till your pick six next hour. I am going to go Auburn to win this game, which I've said. I'm going to go LSU to cover. 10.5 for sure. I think I still chose LSU to cover at 9.5 in our pick six yesterday. I'm going to stay with that. So that's my official prediction. You got one for us?
I think if LSU doesn't turn the ball over like they haven't all season, then I think LSU keeps it close.
I think so too.
And they definitely cover, but I don't know if they'll win.
Yeah, it's flying in the face of recency anyways. Again, 8 out of the last 9 years, the home team has covered. And 8 out of the last 9 years, the home team has won. So we'll see what happens. We'll take a quick break for news. When we come back, you know, I told Christian Garrick, we were talking about this off air, the Hanville situation with Andrew Robeson. I said I didn't really want to get into it, but I just we got to talk about it because it's the news of the day. So we're going to talk about it. Alan Waddell will come into the program next hour. We talk some high school football. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.